We have a very special guest in the house today, as they say, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey. Thank you so much for stopping by to WATD today. It's an honor to have you here.
It's great to be with you, Christine. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're down here on the South Shore today and the Cape. It seems like your schedule, we get your agenda every day. It's packed with things. You just came from Carver, and you're at the middle school. And this was part of something that you were initiative that you're administration is bringing that has to do with education and some of our youngest citizens. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, I was at Carver Middle High School today to announce that we are expanding a program that we have, which we think is really great. It's called Innovation Career Pathways, and these are basically programs in high school that allow students to learn in the classroom in areas that are also where they can get internships while they're going to school. So it's very much like work-based learning, applied learning. We have pathways in 26 different fields, from advanced manufacturing to environmental science to life sciences. And at Carver today, we saw that in action. We were in a classroom with students who were 3D printing, doing all sorts of advanced manufacturing, millwork. We also saw some other students who were studying environmental science and doing lab work. And also these kids are, and they're kids, they're students. Mm-hmm. They're also simultaneously working in jobs. You know, for example, we're with an owner of one of a great Plymouth company, Flexo Concepts, where they take interns from Carver and employ them during the school year. And so these students are really graduating with a leg up. Not only do they have the classroom-based work, but they have the work experience. And they're going on to college programming and career right from high school. So we announced today that we're expanding that program. Mm-hmm. We're really investing in our young people in K through 12 education, in reimagining in particular what high school looks like. Because mm-hmm. the way you and I, what we learn in high school, it doesn't really fit what young people need today. So let's set them up for success. We're expanding this program in Carver, Braintree, Duxbury, Scituate, MAP Academy, Charter School, and Plymouth as well. And again, it's hands-on education, real life skills, and next year we're going to see more and more students participating in these pathways that we think are super important. We also, and I know your listeners mm-hmm. care a lot about this, climate. Mm-hmm. I've said I want Massachusetts to be the global hub for climate tech innovation, climate tech, and so we've got innovation pathways available in schools now for climate and climate technology, clean energy.
Interesting. Now, it's interesting when you talk about what these young students, they sound like brainiacs to me when you talk about 3D printing, et cetera. This is what something that Northeastern University years ago, they were pioneers in the whole co-op system that many other universities and colleges across the country started using that same method. That's what this sounds like at a younger level.
It is. And in fact, you know, you mentioned Northeastern. I actually went to law school there mm-hmm. and participated in the co-op as a law student. And I think it was a huge advantage for me in the workplace because you have work skills already. You're learning mm-hmm. how education is applied, and I think the same is true for our young people. Let's give them the exposure. They're hungry for it. They're eager to learn, and they also need to have high school and education programming that matches where they're at and what they're looking to do.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the very youngest kids? I know universal pre-K access in 16 school districts, and you talk about gateway cities. We cover a couple of them right here, including, you know, Quincy, Wareham, Brockton. What will this mean to these students?
Well, let me say a couple of things. One, I think education begins at birth, right? And mm-hmm. so how are we investing in early education and childcare? Number two, childcare is foundational to our economic growth and development as a state, right? It's like, how many people do you know who are trying to do the math right now? Can they afford childcare, or which allow them to work outside the home? Or is it just cheaper to not work outside of the home, stay at home, and take care of the kids? And like, too many people are faced with that situation because childcare is really expensive. So we've come in as a team and said, we're going to change that. We're going to make childcare more affordable and more accessible. We decided, Christine, we focus on gateway cities and rural communities. So by 2026, we want to have universal pre-K, every four-year-old covered with access to pre-K in all 26 gateway cities and also rural communities. So today, earlier, I was down in Barnstable because this is an area that we're growing this program in, providing grants to school districts, to help them hire child care providers, to help them expand the number of seats available. Child care is just so, so important.
Why are you so interested in our youngest citizens? I'm not saying that as a criticism. More than almost any public official I've interviewed in over 30 years, you seem really invested in it.
Well, I love our young people, and it seems to me we should be doing everything we can to make investments in young people, in their health, in their education. You know, my mom is a school nurse. I'm the oldest of five. Excuse me. And, you know, I think some of this is about my time as Attorney General, where I could see what was happening, kids' trajectory and what they were able to do later in life. So much is formed by how we look after them when they're young. And that's why we've made these investments.
That's terrific. Now, something else I wanted to touch on, something that your administration has been pushing, I think, since the end of last year, and that's your housing bond bill, simply with a goal to make housing more affordable.
Yeah.
So tell us where we are with that, because there's a lot of different parts to that.
Housing's so important. I will say one more thing on the youth, as I was taking a moment to cough.
It's okay. It's dusty, and we're in the middle of some renovation here. It's a little dusty.
COVID. I'm not sick. But, you know, on the youth, I did something the other day. I got to swear in 60 members of our youth council. So, you know, it's not only the early education and child care. It's the investments we're making in K-12 education. It's also empowering young people. I don't know about you, but how many young people do you know who are, like, agitating, whether and concerned about climate or economic inequality or housing costs, right? I mean, any number of things. Mm-hmm. And let's bring them in, and let's get them engaged, and let them help drive policy in this state. One of the things I think young and older people are concerned about is housing.
It's expensive here.
Too high.
Really expensive.
The top priority for our administration is to grow more housing in the state. We've got to grow more housing, produce more housing in the state so that we can lower housing costs. How many people have young people living at home in their 20s with them because they can't afford, forget about a down payment, they can't afford rent? How many seniors, older people do we know who are looking to downsize, but they can't afford to because what are they going to afford to be able to buy, even if they sell the home that they raise their kids in? This is driving young people from our state. It's driving seniors from our state. It's driving employers from our state.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an issue when it comes to recruiting and retaining talent. You know, if you can't, if your employees can't afford to live here, you're not going to be able to continue to expand here, right, or be here even. So here's what I did. I proposed $4 billion. It's a bond bill. It's not out of our budget. This is money that we can go borrow and then use to fund and incent development. We need affordable housing development. We need market rate development. We need the ability to work with developers and communities on taking properties, whether they're state-owned or whether they're old mills or factories that are vacant or office space that is abandoned, and let's, you know, repurpose that into housing. So that's what I'm driving at, Christine, because for me, it's a matter of our competitiveness, too. You know, I started as governor, I said, there are three things that we're driving at with everything we do. Making Massachusetts more affordable, more equitable, and more competitive. And addressing housing hits on all three.
What are the, if somebody's just driving by and listening, thinking, well, that sounds like a great idea, what are three key takeaways that they know will be in this bill? It's other words, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
What's in it
for
them?
Here's what's in it for you. You may have a property with a garage attached, or, you know, some attached property that you know could be repurposed into an apartment, maybe for your mother-in-law, maybe for someone else in your family, or maybe you just want it available as a rental. We've proposed something called accessory dwelling units or granny flats in some in some instances.
Or in casitas like in California.
Which, you know, and here's a quick way overnight to create a bunch of new housing. And, you know, that's one policy thing that we've proposed. We've also proposed funds that will allow us to work with developers more easily to make the math work. I recognize right now we've got inflation, we've got high costs, we've got to make these properties and the development of these properties more attractive. The other thing we're changing is some of the ideas around zoning. You know, let's zone in a way that works for communities. The fact of the matter is communities can develop a whole lot of vibrancy with some downtown commerce. How do you make retail space work with housing space, work with space right next to transit? One of the ways we're going to get people out of cars that are polluting the air and increasing our greenhouse gas emissions is by getting housing right next to transit. So those are some things. There are tax credits there, including tax credits for affordable housing development, particularly important in our great gateway cities. So, you know, I look at it this way. If you have kids and you've raised them, wouldn't you love to have them be able to stay in Massachusetts? You don't want them moving to South Carolina or North Carolina.
Starter home, if you can find a starter home, you're talking about 600,000 in the suburbs out here.
But housing's a barrier to that, right? Similarly, you know, you're raising kids. It's wonderful when grandparents can live near their grandchildren and see their grandchildren and help out. Well, if grandparents can't afford housing right now, they're not going to be able to stay. So, I mean, I think of it in those terms. I think about the employers. We've got so many great employers here, large and small, want to grow business here in the state. But they're not going to be able to stay here unless their employees are able to afford housing here.
Let me, this is an issue that's been, we've heard of this on both sides of the aisle, with the migrants coming to the state and trying to find places for housing, trying to pay for it, and it seems like a lot of silence from Washington about help. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? Do you see help coming?
I don't, fortunately. I mean, unfortunately, it's been, you know, I've spoken about this before. It is so frustrating as governor, and I share this frustration with other governors, by the way, Republican and Democrat, that I talk to around the country. This is a federal problem. Congress has not fixed the immigration issue. They had a deal on the table a couple months ago, and that went away, unfortunately, after Donald Trump said there should be no deal before the election. And the shame of it is this. We know what we need to do. That proposal would have provided more agents on the border. It would have tightened up the border. It would have changed some of the asylum process and procedures. And it would have put us on a more sensible path around immigration. It also would have provided, importantly, money to states like Massachusetts that are having to bear the cost of housing people in our state. So I'll just say that's a super frustration for me. I am really angered by the lack of action in Congress right now. We're having to manage a situation here in Massachusetts, and basically we've got a shelter system, a housing system, where today in our emergency housing, about 55% of the families in emergency housing are actually from Massachusetts.
Okay.
People need to know that. So the number of migrant families, sure, has grown, but still more than half are Massachusetts families who are experiencing housing insecurity, homelessness, and the like. The other thing is that the migrants who have come, I've been very, very focused on getting them work authorization. And I worked with the Biden administration to process and expedite work authorizations. We're now up to about 3,000 migrants with work authorizations. So we're trying to plug them in with work around the state. I mean, how many employers do you know? Everybody's got workforce challenges, right?
And everybody.
And we need workers. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do to manage this in the short term. But I think as a state, you know, we'd never seen this before. Nobody could have predicted this. You look at TV and you see the turmoil in Haiti in particular. You understand what people are fleeing. But it's just not right. And the federal government needs to step up and act.
And hopefully they will. Now, it's interesting. Since you've taken over as governor, here's the kind of touchy-feely question. But has anybody asked you, is this job what you expected? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it completely different?
That's a great question.
Pretending I'm the HR person.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel.
I will tell you how I feel. First of all, I absolutely love my job, and I love the opportunity to work with people in our administration, people in local government, state government, people in private industry, and non-for-profits, people in community. Basically to try to make life better. I mean, that's what government is supposed to do. How do we make life better for people? Massachusetts is a great state. I'm so proud to be able to serve from this state. We've got a lot of great things going for us. But there are also challenges. And I think I knew as governor that I'd be having to deal with managing crises as they come up day to day, while also moving forward with an agenda for our state. And I think, you know, that's sort of been my experience. Now, I couldn't predict the kinds of crises that I'd see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't predict that we'd see incredible rain and flooding this summer that devastated hundreds of farms across Massachusetts. I couldn't have predicted the number of migrants that we're seeing into our state. I knew there'd be something, though, and I knew there would be challenges, just as there was before for Governor Baker, for example, with COVID, right? So you can't always predict what's happening, but I knew it would be a job that required a lot of time and attention and focus. I'm trying to bring that every day, and I just have to say that even with all the challenges, I love the job and the opportunity to try to do some things.
We're speaking with Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey today. I'm going to ask you to make one more prediction. Caitlin Clark, Final Four, what's going to happen?
Isn't that the question? Well,
I know you've got the basketball background.
I've got the basketball background. I do, although, my God, I mean, I look at when I was playing in college and then when I played pro, like the level of play right now is just so exponentially better, and it's awesome. The fact is that right now I think I saw ticket sales for the women's Final Four are four times higher, more expensive than they are for men's Final Four. It's going to be a great game all around, great teams. I have UConn beating Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I can't ever count out UConn, but Caitlin Clark has really transcended the sport.
Mm-hmm.
The number of, here's what's cool, right? The number of men talking about Caitlin Clark.
I love it.
You know, you ask people right now, name a college basketball player, men's college basketball player. I don't know how many people would have one on the tip of their mm-hmm. tongue, but if you asked them for a women's college basketball player, a lot of people are going to say Caitlin Clark, and I just think that's really cool about the game, women's athletics, women's sports, what that means in terms of equity and more opportunity, but it's going to be a great weekend.
Love
and I'm going to be sad when it's over.
I am too. You know, we're delighted to have you here. I know you're on a tight guideline, a tight schedule. Is there anything else you'd like to add to tell our listeners here on the South Shore?
Well, I just want to say that I always appreciate the opportunity to connect and visit your communities. Both Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll and myself love that. So we spent a lot of time on the South Shore. We'll continue to be present in the South Shore. I want to make sure that people know where I'm coming from. You know, right now, the top priority for me is housing. How do we make our state more affordable, more competitive? How do we lower housing costs? So I'll leave folks with that. And also with hopes for a great spring. We've got good things coming up. Boston Marathon, we're about to kick off next year. Celebrations for the 250th anniversary of this country's founding, which is so special about Massachusetts. And we're looking forward to celebrations there. We may get some bad weather, I guess, the next couple days. So everybody stay safe out there as well.
That's great. Thank you again. That's Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey. We're going to put this interview up online. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Delighted to have you. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.